sugar and spice and everything nice. That's what little girls are made of. So goes an old nursery rhyme many of us learn in our youth. Despite what they're made of, girls can have uniquely different personalities. There are quiet, demure, angelic types, as well as some young ladies that are more rough around the edges and who aren't afraid to get as rowdy as their male counterparts. Tomorrow, Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville will open a new exhibition titled Angels and Tomboys, Girlhood in 19th Century American Art. According to museum officials, the exhibit explores the various ways artists portrayed young girls, from the sentimental, innocent stereotype to the free-spirited individual. Angels and Tomboys focuses on the period following the Civil War, in which artists began to emphasize the importance of children, and particularly young girls, as the symbol of hope for a nation damaged and divided by war. It's a bittersweet exhibition for Kevin Murphy, the museum's curator of American art, because it's his last exhibition before he begins a new position in early September at Williams College in Massachusetts. When selecting exhibitions for the museum, Murphy says you have to evaluate them on a number of different levels, such as is it new and informative. Murphy says there were a number of things he found appealing about this particular exhibition. For example, he says it's the first exhibition to really look at this topic in a concerted and focused manner.
It's an important topic. I mean, I think that, you know, we take children and childhood as sort of a natural state, but it's really a constructed state. And it's it has a lot to do with culture and society, and the way we think about children changes over time. And I thought it was really interesting, knowing that, and knowing that I thought that it would also be really appealing to the audiences here, knowing that it's an exhibition that touches on a lot of the themes that Rockwell did, and I knew that Rockwell was on the books, and it's about family, it's about education, it's about community, it's about a number of different kinds of things that I think are universally appealing. I also looked at the range of the artists involved, and I mentioned that I think earlier that there are a lot of artists that we have in the collection in the exhibition. So William Art Chase, Eastman Johnson, Winslow Homer, Ami Phillips, but there are also artists that we don't have represented in the collection or don't have represented in the collection in the same way. So the great angel image by Abbot Thayer is a spectacular painting that we don't have anything like it in the collection, and those are very rare and they're mostly in public collections, so this was a real opportunity to bring something that to introduce our guests to new artists and then have them kind of experience their old friends in a different way.
Angels and Tomboys is organized by the Newark Museum, and Murphy says this is the last time you can see this collection of art together before the pieces are returned to their permanent homes. The exhibition includes about 72 pieces of art, including paintings, photographs, prints, and sculptures. As is often the case, the space which previously housed the Norman Rockwell exhibit has been redesigned for Angels and Tomboys. Murphy says he would love it if guests are completely disoriented with the space so they can have a new and interesting experience of a place they have been two or three times previously. Helping with that is a new entrance door. Guests will enter this exhibition from what has traditionally just been a side exit door. At the start of the exhibit, museum patrons will be greeted by a striking painting of an angel by Abbot Thayer that's surrounded by a large gold frame. There is no shortage of angels in art, so why was this angel the one chosen for the exhibit?
That's such an iconic painting, and there are a number of the paintings of angels, and there are a number of paintings of angels by him. But that painting, his daughter sort of outside of any kind of reference. So you don't see a landscape in the background. There's nothing else. She fills the frame of the painting, and it's this really. It's so well painted, and it sort of that helps the idea of the sort of poignancy I think that you get of it, and the way that he's depicted her, you do see her both as this otherworldly creature, but there is this sort of poignance about it that scholars have looked at in terms of his and his children's own struggle with their mother's death, and I think you see all of that in the painting. It's also modern in a way that some of the paintings in the exhibition aren't, and some of the other paintings by him are not quite that sort of iconic almost. It certainly looks forward to modernism. Her hands are sort of cut off, she fills the frame in an interesting way. That compositionally, it's almost sort of abstracted. So there were a number of reasons why that one was the one that I think was selected for the exhibition.
The walls have been repainted, and curator Kevin Murphy says he selected the color palette after asking some of the museum's female employees what color their rooms were as children. The walls in the exhibition space feature hues of blue and green and a very specific color of pink that was matched to the color of a ballet pointe shoe.
I'm a big ballet fan, and I had, as part of my office decoration, signed pointe shoes signed by a ballerina named Ashley Bowder, who's with the New York City Ballet, that I had signed. And I just thought that would be sort of a fun. I knew that there was that sort of ballerina image, and there was a lot of pink, and there was a lot of. I thought it would be really fun to sort of try to go through our big color, our decks of Benjamin Moore paint. And try to figure out if I could match something. Worked with some staff here, and we figured out a color, and we tried it out, and it looked like it was worked. I thought that it would be a great way of combining my interest in art history with my interest in ballet in a kind of a subtle way. Help create a beautiful exhibition, but also be a little bit of an inside thing that for me to sort of know about.
While the exhibition does focus on girls, Murphy says boys should be able to relate to it as well.
That Eastman Johnson of the girl getting dressed in the party dress, I mean, yeah, boys have that experience too. The idea of and I think it's relatable really to everyone. There are the number of boys in the exhibition, and there are a number of boys both acting as kind of in a way as co-conspirators. There's the great image of the boy and the girl shooting at something, and there's there's the image of brothers and sisters kind of interacting together, and so I think there's a lot for boys too. I mean, to a certain extent. I think boys could, it's like when I was young, I read all my sister's Judy Blume books because you wanted to figure out what was going on. So maybe there's a way in which like that could, I think boys maybe learn something from this. Learn about girls. Come to this exhibition and learn about those mysterious girls.
In an adjacent room, Crystal Bridges is opening another temporary exhibition tomorrow titled Surveying George Washington. The exhibit features an assortment of historical documents on loan from the Harlan R. Crow Library in Dallas, including documents written by Washington or by contemporaries who knew him. The exhibit also features a couple of paintings of Washington, and it aims to provide a look at the former president that offers insight into his life as a real person, not just a historical figure. Crystal Bridges Director of Education and Exhibitions Nikki Stewart says a new touchscreen kiosk will accompany the exhibit, and it will offer guests the opportunity to virtually handle some of the documents included in the exhibition.
So all of the flat documents were scanned, and all of the books were photographed with a camera, and of course our amazing preparator team, they are art handlers by trade, and they know how to handle antique documents without hurting them. So they prepared the actual documents and worked with our creative services team to photograph them at very high resolution. So some of them are in that interactive right now, but the rest of them are part of the archive that we get to keep here. That's part of the reason that I think the Harlan Crow Library was so excited about working with us, because they don't have everything documented or digitized yet. So it felt like a terrific opportunity to get things we both need, digitizing of the documents and all the translation and text, and it was an awesome process, but it was done just a tiny bit by a tiny bit.
Both temporary exhibitions open tomorrow, and they will be on view through September 28th. Admission to Angels and Tomboys is $5 for adults, free for youth 18 years old and younger, and free to museum members. Admission to Surveying George Washington is free to everyone, and no tickets are required. However, space is limited in the exhibition area, and admission is first come, first served, and there may be a waiting period for admittance. More information is available at crystalbridges.org.